Chad, I'm going to surprise you here. Come on up. Pauline, would you come? And we're going to pray for you. Pauline is going to bring us the word here this morning. Oh, yeah. So I thought I had him in my truck, but I got him here. Make sure you tap me on the shoulder or whatever. Poke me in the eye if you need a Bible. I'll get you one. Okay? I got him. So, yeah, let's pray. Let's pray for Pauline.
Father, thank you just for all the blessings that you give us, Lord, and just thank you for your word that comes and sustains us and gives us life and healing and deliverance. Thank you for your word coming forth out of my brother today, Lord. I just ask that it would just come forth with power, that it would convict us of those things in our lives that we still need to work on, Lord, and that it would just heal us in the areas that we need to be healed in. Mighty name of Jesus. Loose his tongue right now in Jesus' Amen. Mighty name. Amen. His tongue be loosed to speak your word and speak on your behalf. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you for my brother. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Preach it.
Preaching my opinion, I'm not preaching a watered-down message, because I'll be responsible to God if I preach down a watered-down message. But today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will be focusing our attention about a very important event, one of the most important events in the Bible. Is called Passover. Passover. And the very first one was commemorated, or I'd rather say, was instructed by God to his people, Israelites. When they have already left Egypt and crossed over through the Red Sea and then into the next journey of their faith. So we'll be reading the scriptures today from the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. And if you have your Bible, you can open your Bible to Exodus chapter 12. We'll be reading from verse 1 until 13. This is a story of Passover. And if we have it on the screen, for those of you who do not bring your Bible to the church, you can read from the screen. So, Exodus 12, beginning with verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. And you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some of it is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On the same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. I'll bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Basically, this is talking about what you eat. If I ask you today, what are you feeding on? What are you eating? You may have various different, several answers to that question. But let's remember, we are what we eat. I think this is the right question to ask you that. I mean, this is the right time, the proper time to ask you that question. I won't ask you that question during Christmas time. I'll ask you maybe sometime in January, because you are still clinging to your New Year's resolution for 1 month. But the text that we are reading today is implicitly is the one that wants us to consider about what we eat spiritually. We have got to be careful what we consume, what we eat, what we partake in into our own soul, into our own heart, into our own mind. If I consume the junks of the world, from what I see on TV, from what I hear on the news, from what the propaganda says, from what the ungodly books written nowadays, of course, it will be a thing jeopardizing my own spiritual health. No wonder in the book of John, if you read the book of John chapter 6, a lot of verses there talk about food, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is claiming himself, he is saying, I am the living bread. In John chapter 6, verse 51, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Amen. And the bread also, which I will give for the life of the world, is my flesh, said Jesus. So feeding on Jesus by faith is a necessity. It's very essential, very important for eternal life. Very important for our own everyday sustenance, living out our spiritual life. We have to eat our physical food regularly, even though sometimes we don't feel like eating, right? But for the sake of our own health, I would advise you also on the spiritual side of it to eat, to consume the Word, Jesus, the living Word, on a regular basis, even though you don't feel like doing that. For the sake of healthy spiritual discipline in your life. Some people say, I feel dry. I don't like to read my Bible. Well, brothers and sisters, even if you don't feel like reading your Bible, make yourself read your Bible for the sake of healthy spiritual discipline. Of course, if you keep the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit burning in your heart, you will have that delight, because the Holy Spirit and the Word will always in company together. So Passover again, back to the etymology, it's a day of deliverance for the Jews. And that deliverance came only by blood. I'm not kidding. Some people accuse Christianity as a bloody religion. And some people do not want a blood in their belief system. But God has instituted in His wisdom that without the remission of the blood of the Lamb of God, without the shedding of the blood, my sin will not be remitted. Your sins will still be counted until eternity. But 2,000 years ago, well, a little bit more than that, that blood, that divine blood has been shed. And we are here today. We can praise God. Our sin has been remitted. We can stand in front of God saying, thank you for the remission of my sin. Thank you for the power of your blood, Jesus. Of course, these Israelites people who have slaughtered the lamb, each family, one for each. It's not enough just to slaughter the lamb or a goat. They've got to apply that also to the door frames on the two posts and the top one, the lintels. So very much like the cross. So this is what is called one of the typologies in the Old Testament referring to the New Testament, which will be fulfilled when Jesus died on the cross, shedding His blood on Calvary for the remission of our sins. Another significant thing also about this Passover is, remember that these people of God, they can pass over from the bondage of Pharaoh of Egypt through the Red Sea and on into a new land. They pass over. So that is Passover. They pass over safely. through that Red Sea. God made a way where there seems to be no way. Amen. They were walking on dry land. You think God cannot make a way for you? You think you have got stuck in your life? You see everywhere, to the left, to the right, back, to the front. You don't see any open way. But if you look up, if you look up to Jesus, to God, to our Lord, who has all the power in this universe, He will open a way for you. Yes, let me say that again. Deliverance must come by blood, not by good works, not by coming to church, not by baptism, not by adhering to doctrines. All of those are good. They are manifestations after you are delivered. I like the verse that says, this month is to be for you the first month. I'm reading from verse 1, chapter 12 of Exodus. The first month of your year. It means this will be the new beginning for you. I love that. So if you turn to Jesus, whatever you did in the past, 5 years ago, or maybe when you were young, you did many things, horrible things in the sight of God. It didn't count. Once you are delivered by the blood of the Lamb, it is no longer in the record book of God. God cannot say, oh, how about the thing that you did many years ago? How about your wickedness, your transgressions, the things that hurted my heart several months ago? It didn't count, because there is a new beginning for you as a new creation in the sight of God. The first month for the people of Israel. In other words, the years they spent under bondage, the years they spent in Egypt didn't count at all. In the same token, life before conversion is not reckoned by God as long as you turn over your whole life to the Lord Jesus Christ by accepting Him as the Lord and the King in your life. Amen. And I think this is the cry of some hearts, even in this building today. Can I begin again? Can I begin anew? Can I have a new beginning? Yes, the Bible says you can have. Amen. Yes. You can begin anew through the process of new birth. Thank God for new birth. Not being born physically, but being born spiritually.
Amen.
This is the question which Nicodemus, a professor in theology, a Pharisee, could not understand. And many people in the world also. Their mind was blinded by the God of this world, and because of that, they do not want to turn over their life so that they can have a new beginning with God. It's all in the Bible. If you don't believe me, check. Check the Bible in the book of John, chapter 3. We don't have time to refer to that verse here today. But let me take your thinking again today to the process or to the steps how the Lamb was chosen. Because it was given here quite elaborately. It says it should be a male of the first year, male goat or male sheep, or male lamb. And it should be perfect without any blemish. Again, this is a typology. What is written in the Old Testament points to the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God who is perfect without blemish, as the book of Peter, 1 Peter says. This typifies Christ, the Lamb of God, perfect one, the Lamb in heaven. And even if you remember John the Baptist, when he was baptizing people in the River Jordan, and Jesus also coming to him. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, he said, John said, look, Jesus, the Lamb of the world, the Lamb of God. Yes, Jesus is the Lamb of God. I like this story very much because, just imagine, slaves. The Israelites, they were slaves. But because of the blood, they were freed. They are being free by the power of the blood. The blood of the Lamb. Lots of us, lots of people, before they turned their life to Jesus, they were slaves too. Slave of sin. Slave of the enemy. There is a new day coming. Jesus has come into the world. He has given his life. He has given his blood. You can be made free. And things to remember here is about the firstborn of Egypt died, whether it be people or animals. Remember, there are 10 plagues taking place in Egypt, right? And this is the last one. From the first to the ninth. It happened only in the places or in the areas where Egyptians live. But the final one, the last one, the 10th one, you remember that the area where the Israelites people live is called Goshen. Now this 10th plague covered the whole Egypt, including the place of the Israelites. I'm talking about obedience here. It happened everywhere. But because of the Israelites obeyed God, obeyed the instruction, they were safe. The firstborn, including their animals, of the Israelites people were safe and sound. Nothing happened to them. Because of what? Again, the blood was sprinkled. The blood of the Lamb was sprinkled on the door frames of their houses. And they had to stay inside the house that night. So even though there is power in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, we have to stay in the place of safety. Not because there is power in the blood of Jesus, and then I stayed outside, and that night, for example, the angel of death will come and then strike the persons. I would be a casualty as well. So if God says they have to stay inside the house after they apply the blood, that is the act of obedience. Don't use your rational thinking for that. After they did that, what happened next? The Bible says, we read in the passage, that they had to partake. They had to eat the lamb. I praise God for what Brother Dad said or explained when he read the scriptures from the book of Revelations, and also the song that we sang today. It all pointed to one thing. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. We have to feed on the Lamb for our strength. And these Israelites people had got to eat that night. Nothing should be left until morning. The meat should be eaten or partaken of to give them strength. Why? Because God knew there will be a stressful night ahead of them. We live in the world today. We have our technology more advanced from day to day. But life is not getting easier.
Amen.
Not getting easier. Some people pride on the advance of science and everything, but still, life is not getting any easier at all. Yes. Meaning to say, the days ahead of us are getting more stressful. There are many difficulties ahead of you and ahead of me. But I don't have to lose heart, because God has given me His word, His power.
Amen.
To partake on Him. That will give me strength enough for the journey ahead. However perilous the time is ahead of us, if you partake from the Word of God, spiritually, by faith, it will give you enough strength. You have to ingest it. You have to digest it spiritually. Not just in here. It should be part of our own system. Again, you are what you eat. Some of you have responsibilities that are heavy. Maybe in your company or even at home. Many things you feel too heavy for you to carry. But if you partake of the word of the Lamb of God through His word, you can say what the Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
So partake or feed on the Lamb for your spiritual depth also. Don't be shallow. For spiritual depth. You remember the seed which was falling down on rocky place? It can grow, but for a little time only. Dryness will come. Sunshine or scorch will come. That will make it die. Many people, when coming to Christ for the first time, oh, they grow, but only for a short period of time. Why? Because the roots cannot go deeper, shallow. So please, go deep in your spiritual life. There are many lessons connected with this meal, brothers and sisters. We just read that the lamb should be roasted with fire. Fire speaks of judgment. All Egypt was under judgment that night. But Israel's judgment had fallen where? On the lambs. Christ, the Lamb of God, has borne our judgment. My judgment, ladies and gentlemen, my judgment has passed. I don't have to stand at the great white throne judgment of God at the end of time anymore. Another judgment that I have to face is how, after I believe, after I receive Jesus, how do I conduct my life? And that kind of judgment is to determine not the place where I'll be thrown into hell or Hades, but that will determine what kind, what degree of reward I'm to receive based on how I conduct my life in the salvation from Jesus. Remember that again. When you celebrate Good Friday, say, God, thank you. My judgment has passed already because it is all poured down on Jesus when he was hanging on the cross. And remember that they are also to eat this lamb or this flesh with unleavened bread. No yeast is allowed. And if you read the Bible, the yeast speaks many times about evil. All evil must be put away from these Israelites people. But it also speaks about our Christ, our Savior, that he is the sinless Savior. One word, purity. Purity. Can you tell me any other prophets from other religions that can say, I am pure, I have the purity in my blood, in my system? None except Jesus. Maybe you don't like this part. I think it is in verse 8. The same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs. Oh, it is bitter. I'd rather not have it in my plate. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, something bitter, also good for health. It can give you zest. But this talks also about suffering, for persecution. If you are a true follower of Jesus, you cannot avoid from having, from encountering some persecution or some crosses that you should carry as a follower of Jesus. No other way. This also reminded the Israelites people about the bitterness of bondage, about the bitterness of slavery. If you don't remember history, I doubt it. You cannot step further on the right keel forward. Cannot. God wants the Israelites people to remember that they used to be slaves, they used to be in bondage, so they should not take it lightly, the freedom, deliverance that God has given to them. You would appreciate the love of God, the blessing of God, better if you remember how deep you have been before fallen in your sin, living in the bondage. And this all reminds us of the sufferings of Christ, these bitter herbs. And you have to eat it not raw and nor sodden, all with water. What does it mean? I said earlier that the lamb must feel the heat. It speaks about God's wrath. The heat. It's roasted, right? It's not cooked in water, no. But let's remember this and let's thank God for this. All because of his justice, he's a just God. All his wrath has been poured down on Jesus Christ when he was hanging on the cross. That's the meaning of should be roasted. And the lamb must feel the heat. Christ has taken the heat for us. And I read in the book of Corinthians chapter 2, of the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it is in verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I'd like to say also, to add at this juncture, that the message of God must not be watered down. We have to understand that we should fear God rather than the feeling of man. Of course, we have to speak the truth in love, right? But the message should not be watered down just to make it more palatable to some people. And what does it mean? The Bible says here in this Exodus chapter 12, let nothing remain. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, on the tree, he said, the last word he said, after submitting his spirit to God, it is finished. There is nothing you can add to the sacrificial act of Jesus on the cross. Nothing. It is complete. It is finished. Not with your good works. Not with your money you donate. All of this is good, but there is nothing you can do to add to the completeness of the sacrificial lamb which was given to us when Jesus died on the cross. So eat it with your loins girded. What does it mean? Cloak tuck. I believe this shows us the fact that we should be ready to go where the Lord will lead us, very much like these people, these Israelites people. They should be ready to go to the place or to wherever God will lead them. Many people are not ready. Not ready to serve. Not ready coming to church to receive blessing. Not ready to give God glory. They are not ready. But this portion of the scripture says, they should eat the lamb with their loins girded. In other words, ready for action. And even with their shoes, the Bible says, on their feet. There should be no delays when the call comes to move. We should be ready to walk in the guidance and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people want God and the Holy Spirit to wait for them. They say, I'm not ready yet. Wait until I reach the age of such and such. Wait until I have accumulated or amassed some riches. Wait until my children are all established. Don't ask God and the Holy Spirit to wait for you. We are the ones to be ready. And ready any moment. Amen. To follow his guidance. Amen. And his call. And remember, brothers and sisters, the meaning of this stuff in their hands while eating the lamb, it means that we are here down below on earth, on this side of eternity. We are just pilgrims here. However good the life has given to you by God, remember, you are not staying here forever. Staff in hand while eating. We are strangers here on the way. We have to obey the marching orders given to us by God, by Jesus when he ascended up to heaven. Matthew 28, the last verses, it says, go, and then, make disciples, and then baptize them. Make disciples of all nations, and then teach them to obey all my commands. My question again, are you, brothers and sisters, feeding on the lamb on a regular basis? Do you love his word? Do you take care of your spiritual stamina? If not, sorry to say, you will be weak. You will be lethargic. You will be sluggish spiritually. But it's not yet too late. The grace is still extended by God. Start feeding on Jesus. Christ will be adequate for most difficult journey that we will encounter in the days ahead. God bless you all.